News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 15th of May, Anno Domini 2005, and you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we'll be bringing you all kinds of interesting stuff, your phone calls, some news items, all kinds of cool and interesting things. I think we're going to start with Dave.
Wait a minute, I'm still getting connected.
Because he's completely, yeah, no, he's getting connected. He's got a new toy.
Yeah.
He's got it lights up when you're you. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
For you folks.
Blinky lights. Ooh.
Exactly.
What turns us on. Yeah, I wound up getting connected to yours. Basically, because this isn't TV, obviously. You can't, folks can't see it.
Hold it up in front of the camera.
Yeah, hold it up in front of the camera. We do have the webcast going. But one thing that's becoming very popular, and I just happened to get one, is a new PDA. This one happens to be by Dell. It's an Axiom. And it has built-in wireless,
yep,
Wi-Fi, Word, Excel. I can surf the Internet right now, which I'm doing, going to the Soundbites webpage. But you can also check your email, do notes. It also has a recorder on it. You can throw various size media cards into it. Matter of fact, I've got a 1 gig one coming right now, so you can store photos. You can't take pictures, but you can store photos and files. And it's very versatile. And this one has the older operating system. Microsoft, matter of fact, just announced that they're now coming out with the new OS for mobile PDAs and that, OS 5, I believe it is. And it's going to have more features. They're going to build in now, like I said, this has Word and Excel on it. They're also going to throw in PowerPoint. So you could literally do a PowerPoint presentation off your PDA. And more security and everything else. But these are becoming very popular. You know, they've got it built into phones. This is actually lighter and smaller than my original Palm.
Yeah.
And it does a heck of a lot more.
Yeah, it does.
With the built-in networking features of it. We happen to be at a cafe. And we need to look something up.
Right.
And okay. And I just pulled out the PDA, looked it up. No problem. Found out the information.
We use those internet cafes all the time. You know, look up movie times. You know, we're done drinking now. What should we do? Let's go see a movie. All right, what's playing?
So, yeah, PDAs are becoming very popular because of the versatility of them.
Right.
And being able to transfer so much stuff and do more with them than the old PDAs, just contacts.
Yep. They're pretty nifty. One of the things that that we need to do at some point, everybody needs to do, not just us here at Soundbites, but everybody needs to do, is to start doing interesting things to the homepage so that if you're on a wireless, on a palm top connection, you get smaller graphics and stuff like that.
You finally updated. See the new poll.
Yeah. What happened was
I was going to try to sneak in last night because I got home.
I know.
What was it, 12:45? And I thought, all right, the new poll's going to be up.
Yep.
Because I was still up after babysitting our grandchildren. My wife and I had to babysit our grandchildren. And it was still the old poll. I go, damn!
Well, what happened was I have each poll has both a starting and an ending date. And last week's poll started on 05:08.
Uh-huh.
And then it should have ended on 05:15. Instead, I put 08:15.
Oh, well.
So it never looked to see what the next poll would be. So I can put them up. You know, I can put them up weeks in advance if I want to. Not that I ever have, but I could. I could line them up and do it that way. But I had accidentally put 08:15, so this one would have gone until the middle of August. So I fixed that about 2 in the morning, and then it immediately jumped to the right poll. No, actually, I did it this morning, about 9 o'clock.
We were... even more geekier than usual last night.
Uh-oh.
We went to a Star Wars party at a friend's house.
Sure.
We watched 1, 2, and Attack of the Clones.
Okay.
To lead us up to episode 3, opening Wednesday night, Thursday morning, 12:01 a.m. Thursday morning.
Sure. Sure, and you'll be there.
Actually, I'm probably not going to that one because I will have to get up and go to work.
Oh, yeah, that.
I know. But there was a story in the news this week. You know, some report firm reported that the industry business is going to lose billions of dollars on Thursday because of all the people not coming into work.
Yeah, Star Wars flu. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, particularly in the tech industry where all the geeks are.
Yeah.
I'm personally planning on taking all my minions to see it, but not until maybe Friday afternoon or something when most of the people wearing costumes will have been already.
How about those other folks, though? Where was it? Out in California. Really have to be porked off because they camped out a month ahead trying to buy tickets.
Yeah.
Literally camped out a month ahead. Because that theater usually always...
At the wrong theater. They were at Grumman's Chinese Theater, the big famous theater you see on TV all the time, because that's where episodes 1 and 2 were shown. So they just figured they'd get 3. But another chain got it. So they're camped out in front of the wrong theater.
Oh, boy.
That's funny. That's... I'm sorry, but that's funny. I have to say, years and years ago, we used to have costume parties every Halloween. And one year... This was when the first Star Wars had just come out. One year, I opened the door, and there was a woman in a white gown with, you know, the buns, the hair and buns. Help me, he's after me! And I hear, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, the song, and whatever the song is in the background. And there's a guy in full Darth Vader costume following Princess Leia in the door. It was like 3 hours before anybody figured out who these people were, because...
The movie opened that morning.
Well, it was a guy. No. We knew who the characters were. We didn't know who the people were.
Well, yeah, full costume.
The guy was somebody I worked with, and of course, he never took off his mask, and none of us had ever met his wife. So, as far as I knew, there were these two strangers at my party, which was fine with me, because they did such a great, such a great entrance. It didn't bother me, but it was very funny. We just had no idea for the longest time. And Jim Zorn, you know who you are if you're listening. But yeah, that was so. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. I think of the right age to see the first one, and it just completely blew me away. I mean, compared to everything that had gone before.
There's a lot of stories. Star Wars came out in 77, and Star Trek came out in 79,
right.
Originally as a TV series, and they made it into a movie.
I remember sitting on my porch with my black and white TV watching the very first Star Trek episode.
They were, the Star Trek movie came out in 79.
No, you know, I'm saying before that. Right, 64, I know.
The year I was born. They made the pilot, but there was a lot of rumors running around that Roddenberry was really mad because Star Wars took all his money from
Star
Trek.
One thing that Rob wouldn't remember is
yesterday.
No.
Well, no, the Enterprise finale now, as everyone hates.
No.
The what?
The Enterprise finale was this week, and everyone hates it.
I saw it. I loved it. I mean, I thought the fact that it was over was bad, and et cetera, et cetera. I won't tell people what it was like.
It was kind of a neat episode, but as the last episode of the series, it was horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
But, no, one thing that Rob won't remember is when you had to get up and actually turn the channel on the TV.
Luke.
See, he doesn't remember that.
No, I remember that. We used to have to do that. I just made my mom get up and turn it or something.
Nah.
Like
that.
Oh,
nice.
Oh, you would be
nice.
No, we had remotes.
The youngest kid.
Oops, I got
to turn me back on. Yeah, the youngest kid was always the remote.
Well, yeah, my brother always used to make me do it because I was the youngest.
And, see?
Young
lady.
I don't feel well. Turn the channel.
Bet when there are only 3 channels. You know, I was a kid.
My daughter was like telling her a horror story. It was like telling her a ghost story at midnight. We used to have 3 channels. Listen, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob, I'm too young for my own good, Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham's PCs to Max. These guys can answer your questions. Back to more Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
You're talking about
talking about black and white TV.
I know. I get it.
I
got it.
I have to explain it to you, give you a disclaimer.
No, I got it. We're back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
My three friends here with me. this is Soundbites, and we're going to go to the phones. And we
we're not going to go to the phones. Dave is using his spare time to play games on his PDA.
Nice.
But
nice.
I wanted to mention that there's an article this week in one of the Mac News sites about the resurgence of the Apple Newton and how far ahead of its time it was. And there's a guy running a web server on a Newton, hosting web software for other Newton owners to download.
Nice. Nice.
So that's kind of interesting. It's like the old Mac being powered by a potato.
Yep. I'm running. I have a Linux based PDA from Sharp that's running a web server, MySQL database, doing all kinds of stuff.
Yep.
It's way fun. Our first caller, Frank from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Frank. What's your question?
Hi. Well, on my wife's computer, trying to print a document in Adobe Reader, the OK button on the print screen is covered by the taskbar. Any ideas?
Move the window up.
I did. It hits the toolbar, and I still can't get enough.
What screen resolution are you running?
Screen resolution is too low.
That, I don't know. I'd have to go on her computer. What do you suggest?
800 by 600 minimum.
800 by 600. Okay.
And do 1024 by 768. What size screen is it?
17 inch.
Do 1024 by 768.
You could easily do 1280 mode.
Well, it depends on the computer and
the drivers
and video
for that, the video.
Yeah. Yeah. It just started about a week ago.
Was everything on screen really, really huge?
Yes.
Yeah, that's probably at 640 mode.
Go to,
which is 13
inch. Maybe in
inch.
Safe mode. Does it say safe mode in the corners?
No.
Go to 1024 by 768. If you right click anywhere it's on the screen,
right.
Go down to properties, and then it'll open up a window. Go over to the settings, and right there is where you can select, there's a little slide bar. Slide it down up to 1024 by 768. You'll be able to see a lot more. And things won't be hidden.
So now the question becomes, why is it set that way? And someone accidentally set it that way, or a game quit and didn't reset the resolution back, or something's happening with your video driver or video card. So if you can't set it down to the lower higher resolution, more screen image, there may be something more wrong with it.
You might have to reinstall the driver.
Reload the video driver, yeah.
Also, I'll check how many colors you're doing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Sure. You're welcome.
Our next call, what?
The olden days when 640 by 480 was a huge amount of screen space.
Yep.
And a 13-inch color monitor was $1,000.
Exactly. our next caller is Mike from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Hi. I've just been using my computer. I turned it off yesterday, turned it on today, and I went to put a CD in the CD-ROM drive.
Mm-hmm.
And it says it doesn't exist. And then I look at the device manager, and it's got yellow exclamation marks in front of it. I tried reinstalling the driver, and it says it doesn't exist.
How old of a machine is it?
About 3 or 4 years old.
If you're lucky, the cable wiggled itself loose.
Yeah, you can check to see if the cable's loose. What operating system?
Windows XP.
Okay. Yeah, check to see if the cable's come loose. Then you can go into the device manager, and where that yellow exclamation mark is,
right.
Remove it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you shut the machine down and reboot and see if it finds it then. Because XP is very smart, I mean, as far as finding devices and that type of stuff.
Actually, the last time, I tried that once, and it said it did find the device, but...
Couldn't load the driver?
It said it found the driver or something, but can't find the device.
Is it an ordinary CD reader, or is it also a writer DVD?
The writer and DVD-ROM.
Windows is still detected as a reader.
You need the extra software to write. The thing is spinning up, and it's having problems reporting to
not
the
even doing anything,
operating
like
system
when I
what it is.
Hold on, wait. You're saying it doesn't? You get nothing out of it?
No.
Can you open the door?
When I get open the door, nothing. No,
wait,
I mean,
the door does open.
I was trying to install Word.
Yeah.
And it doesn't spin or anything.
So, and it's probably shot.
Yeah, probably the drive is going.
Yep. Cheap enough to replace. I mean...
Yeah, if the door opens, it's getting power.
Right.
So that's a good thing.
But the actual connector, though, isn't sensing that it's there as far as reporting.
But it could be that the connector's loose.
It could be that the connector's loose. That's certainly a possibility.
Try that.
But it's if it actually will open the door and close the door, but once you put the CD in, it doesn't even spin up. That kind of seems to mean that there's a hardware error somewhere in the device, because spinning up has nothing to do with the driver and is strictly mechanical inside the system.
Yeah.
So I would definitely suggest that you check the cable, certainly, but it's more likely that the driver itself needs to be replaced.
Replace the drive.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, we're going to take a break. We have news coming up. The great Joan Brandenburg will be here with the news. And then on the other side of the news, why, we're going to take a whole lot more of your calls. We've got, I think that's Shahia, is that Shahid? Oh, it's a D. Nice handwriting. Alan, Bruce, we've got a whole bunch of people on the line. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave, Steve, Rob, me, Nick, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Spot. You can understand. Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Wright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites. We're back to the phones, and we're going to go to Rashid in Rochester, New York. Welcome, Rashid. What's your question?
My son is using...
Shahid. I beg your pardon.
That's okay. My son is using AOL instant messaging, and I think he's getting viruses into our system from that.
Yep. Yeah? I bet she is. Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember you mentioning once there's a safer... instant messaging software that can be used with AOL also, so he can still talk to his friends.
Yeah, there's a whole system called Jabber, J-A-B-B-E-R. And what it is an instant messaging product that talks to AOL, Yahoo, all of them.
There's even a better device. It's called the telephone.
That's right. It's no instant messenger. Jabber talks to everything. And it lets you talk to them, but one of the things that it doesn't do is download files from AOL.
And that's where the viruses are.
And that's where you're getting
coming.
Your viruses, yeah. Right.
Okay. That was it. Thank you so much.
Well, you can find. Now, hold on. The system itself is at jabber.org, J-A-B-B-E-R.org. Now, what that is the server. But down the left-hand side, you'll see software. Well, that's the whole Jabber Foundation. And down the left-hand side, you'll see links to clients and servers and everything else. So if you click on clients, it'll take you to the various stuff that's available. So there's a whole bunch that are out there, and all you need to do is find the one that works for you. Then follow the instructions to set it up, and that'll lead you to there are a number of free open Jabber servers out on the net that will let you connect. So it gives you a lot of choices, and you can play around with that. But the place you want to go to is jabber.org. I like Jabber. My daughter uses Jabber. And she can talk to everybody and loves it. Our next caller, Alan from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Alan. What's your question?
Hi. I inherited/bought my nephew's Dell 8200 running Windows XP Professional.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I'd like to reformat it. I have all the OEM disks, and it's registered in his name. What do I have to do to re-register Windows XP Professional in my name and reinstall it?
Did he re-register or did he just activate it?
I don't know what he's done. He's owned this for about a year, and when you look at the screen, it says registered to his name.
Okay, so he actually filled out the registration.
That's not necessarily the registration form. That's just the name you type in when Windows asks for your name.
Right. If you wind up...
You're going to have to reactivate it, but as long as it's the same hardware, you shouldn't have a problem.
No, there's a way around that.
There's an option. Well, yeah, you call them up and...
No. Better way. If you got to reinstall Windows, learn this tip.
There you go.
And not have to reactivate it. There's a file called, if you do a search, it's PDL. And I forget the extension. But if you do a search on PDL, what it does is that's the little file that's created once you activate it. If you copy that off to disk and you remember where you copy it from, you put it back to replace the one that's there once you format and put it. You don't have to reactivate the Windows. Saves you the hassle. Calling Microsoft and going through this voice-activated activation system where you've got to say each letter, type it in.
Well, if you're just reinstalling Windows, because I just did this week. I formatted the hard drive, reinstalled the same version of Windows on the same computer, and it auto-activated over the Internet, no problem.
Why do you want
to replace the registration anyway? Information in his name that you now want to change to your name is part of two issues. When you're entering the Windows setup, it asks you for your name and all that stuff. During the activation phase, there's a question that says, do you also want to register with Microsoft? And then that sends your name and address and stuff to them. Most folks say no. But on Microsoft's website, and I think we have a link in our link list because this question came up a few months ago, what he needs to do, your son, was it?
Yes.
Has to do a transfer of ownership for the license of Windows. And he has to ask Microsoft's permission to transfer the license to you.
They have a form you fill out. Yeah, they email him. If he emails them, they'll email him the form, and he fills out all the particulars that the actual computer and software is physically going to his dad, say, or whoever. They'll sit there and sign off, but it's got to have the person's, you know, name and address.
Most people don't bother with all of this, but to stay completely legal with the licensing requirements of Windows or any operating system on any platform, that's sort of the stuff you need to do.
Right. Our next caller, Bruce, from a cell phone, pulled over to the side of the road, I'm sure. Hi, Bruce, what's up?
Yes, I am. Question, I'm running XP. When I go into System Tools and I do a disk cleanup, I can't open up the defrag. The window pops open and it closes.
One thing with Windows XP, I mean, you folks are, everybody out there, with the old Windows 98, we're so used to running scan disk and defrag all the time because of the way the file structure used to handle things. Well, with Windows XP and that it uses NTFS FAT, or NTFS instead of FAT32 now, you don't have to do that as much. I mean, unless you're taking a lot of, you know, putting a lot of programs on, taking them off, and moving a lot of data and everything else, it would cause it to get defragged, which even under XP, it does a good job of maintaining that organization. If you run it maybe once, twice a year, that's a lot.
Yeah, the file system doesn't...
If ever.
Same thing on the Mac side. The file system doesn't let the files get fragmented in the first place. And the drives are so much faster these days, you don't notice a little fragmentation anyway. But the root of your problem is probably somewhere in the defrag program. There's something messed up. Try going into safe mode and see if defrag will open. Or even DOS mode, but a lot of times they're command prompt only. They're not including the utilities in the command prompt anymore.
Yep.
All right, we're going to take another break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
If you missed what... Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites. What?
Hello.
Well, you know what the problem is? These microphones need, like, a good strong dose of Viagra because, seriously, I have to, like, hold it up here because I'm 6'2". Why are you guys looking at me like that?
Well, I'm just amused.
Yeah.
Good entertainment. You know, you never let me rant.
I'm just saying, I have to hold the mic up here. Forget it.
Dave gets out his pocket tool every couple of months and tightens down all the nuts.
Yeah.
So the springs hold.
So the springs hold, but, you know, soon it'll be a new studio and then it'll all be good.
And he'll have to pull out his pocket tool in there, too, and fix those.
Now. I'm sure it'll be perfect. Perfect.
For a few months.
And that's all we're asking.
Yep.
Nothing can be perfect forever. Do we want to go? Oh, look, we have David calling from Pennsylvania. Welcome, David. What's your question?
Oh, good morning, guys.
High on a mountaintop in Tennessee.
Almost.
Go ahead, Dave.
Oh, I wanted to ask you a question about operating system installation, and in particular directing my question toward Windows 2000 and Windows XP Pro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've been successful in these last few weeks in slipstreaming. Say that three times fast.
Yeah.
Slipstreaming the service packs you know, respectively into these operating systems without any problems. My question really goes more to the slipstreaming of the updates. I mean, these things have more updates than dogs got fleas. It's incredible. As a practical matter, is it practical to slipstream in the updates as well as the, I mean, the service packs are pretty easy, but I'm wondering about the updates.
In general, the service packs are collections of updates. So
yeah, guys, I apologize. I'm talking about those updates which are not included in the service pack. I mean, there are so many updates to these things. It's not like they never made a mistake, okay, guys?
Well, every operating system has them. I mean, it depends on how frozen the operating system is.
Well, that's not really the issue. I'm asking you about the practicality. I guess there must really be 20 updates on top, for example, of the Windows XP Pro SP4.
Yeah, you really need to because the problem is some of those updates are security related. And that's simply mandatory. You have to do it.
Okay, I apologize. Maybe I didn't ask the question clearly. My question really goes to the – I mean, I know you need the updates. The question is, I mean, what are shops doing, for example? Are they using slipstream disks, or are they doing these things on a one-off basis, putting 20 updates in at a time?
Large organizations use back-end servers that do the job for you. System update server, it does it, and it's
run a script file.
You run a script file. For example, at RIT, we have a couple of hundred machines. We have one server that downloads all the updates, and then at whatever time of the morning, 3 a.m. or whatever it is, it goes out and updates all the machines.
Yeah, but I'm talking about when you're installing the operating system from scratch.
Yeah, most of the companies Dave and I, when we do build PCs, you put together one PC, load all the updates manually, and then clone that hard drive for every identical computer you're building.
But they have to do it.
But you have to do it all manually once. Or what I've been noticing, a lot of the new PCs I've been getting, none of the updates are installed. It's just a raw XP Service Pack 2.
Yep.
And then you have to spend the next 3 hours downloading and updating manually.
What we do when we're building new machines is we put it on an off internet network that has that update server on it. And so we build the machine, send it to the update server, and then go to lunch.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, that's what you do.
So if you're a large organization.
A movie, dinner.
Yeah, right, a weekend in Toronto. If you're a large enough organization and you can afford to have extra machines sitting around to do that sort of thing with and build a separate network and run an update server on it and all that other stuff.
Guys, I'm not a. Yeah. You know,
Let me finish, please.
I'm sorry.
If you can't afford all those things, then indeed you do each one by hand. There's no way around it.
Or you just put the raw OS on it and let the customer end up doing it all themselves.
Well, right. That's the other choice. Yeah. And I think it's best to do it yourself if you can, but then you come down to the problem of your time versus their time versus who's paying for what and blah, 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 blah. But there's no magic bullet unless you can afford that server.
So, my question is it practical to slipstream the updates onto a CD-ROM?
Yes. Sure.
Well, I didn't really know.
But it's hard to download. Most of the updates aren't downloadable separately. You have to get them from Software Update, and they have to install exactly as they're downloading.
I don't know of any way, unless you get to the FTP site, and you've got to know which files to grab.
But anything that you can slipstream, absolutely, throw it on a CD and do it from machine to machine to machine. There's no reason not to do that if it's slipstreamable.
Yeah.
But like Dave said, not all of them are. We're going to take another break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Answering your computer questions for over 15 years. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we have Gabe on a cell phone with a better answer for David in Pennsylvania. Welcome, Gabe.
Hey, good afternoon. Just want to drop a quick suggestion. I'm not sure if it's still available or not, but I remember a while back, if you try to get to Windows Update through anything other than Internet Explorer, it used to redirect you to a different site where you can actually download the updates. For example, if you're using Firefox, you go in there, and it says you want to download these whatever's available as far as updates. I'm not sure if it's, the latest and greatest as far as the latest security patches and whatnot. But I have been able in the past to download those updates, and then you can, you know, burn them on a CD and keep them around so that I, too, build PCs. If you build a PC for a customer, at the very least, they only have to download a few updates when they get their PC home and connect it to the network and whatnot, instead of having to download 3 or 4 hours worth of Microsoft goodies.
Yeah, last time I tried that, it said, sorry, you must be using Internet Explorer, and that's as far as it went.
Yeah, and right. With the new custom installer, I mean, they give you the option to either do Express or Custom, and then from the Custom, then you can sit there and select the ones that you want and don't want.
I like
that
screen.
Yeah, I just went there. It says, thank you for your interest in Windows Update. Windows Update is the online extension of Windows that helps you get the most out of your computer. You need to be running a version of Internet Explorer 5 or higher in order to use Internet Update.
Yeah, mine says you must be running a Microsoft Windows operating system in order to use Windows Update.
So, and I'm using Firefox.
You're smart about that.
Yeah, smart enough to know I'm not running Windows.
There are a couple of files that you can download, certain security updates that you can download the disk. But again, David wanted it all in one neat little package, and it's just simply not available.
Yeah, if you go to download.microsoft.com, you can download stuff manually, but not all of those updates. In fact, hardly any of the Windows updates are ever posted as a separate download.
Yep. Our next caller is. Thank you, Gabe. That's. I love it when people give us advice and help. I love that. Our next caller is Rick from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Rick. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I've got a problem that's been harassing me for a long time.
Yeah.
I've got an intermittent cursor. Sometimes it'll go along for 2-3 hours, and I have no problem at all. The next time I'll boot up, and within 5 minutes, my cursor starts being spastic. It's not following my mouse, and sometimes it won't move at all. The only way to get it back is to reboot.
And it works perfectly for a while.
I'll give you an idea of what I've done so far. I've changed the motherboard. I've run every antivirus program I can get my hands on.
Have you tried a different mouse?
I have changed the mouse from the standard mouse to Logitech optical.
Mm-hmm.
Also gotten it out of the mouse port, and I'm in USB on the Logitech mouse.
You have a rug in the room where you're using your computer?
A rug?
Yeah.
Something that generates static.
Have you tried one of the anti-static sprays?
No.
Try that. It's very possible. Mice are very susceptible to static. And particularly at the time of the year when you have something that dries the house out, like an air conditioner, or as the weather was for a few days, very dry here. My poor daughter was upset. She was getting shocked every time she got in and out of the car.
It's been going on now for about a year and a half.
It happens in a lot of houses constantly.
I'm almost convinced that it's a software problem, but I can't.
It could be the mouse. Now you've done everything else. Try this. You know, you can buy those sprays. I forget their name.
Static sprays, yeah.
Yeah, static spray that, you know, they advertise women spraying their dresses before they walk out the door.
Michael Dorn is endorsing one. It's the Mr. Wharf anti-static spray. In full Klingon costume.
Maybe you don't have to go quite that
protect
far.
Protect your data.
But there are a lot of anti-static sprays that are available. They sell specialized ones for computer rooms, but you don't have to go that far. Just buy one of those anti-static sprays, spray it around the rug, around your chair, and see if that solves the problem. If it does, it's a real nice low-tech solution.
Good smell.
And it smells good. And I'd start there because I think that's
could
most
be.
Likely
yeah,
a problem.
Change out the motherboard and mice.
Yeah, if he's done everything else, that's all that's left. Our next caller?
The motherboard.
Yep. Our next caller is John from Rochester, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Yes, good morning. I have Rhapsody on my system, and I have Windows ME, and it was running fine. I did the update on Rhapsody, and now when I restart Rhapsody, it doesn't start, and I get a blue screen with a couple error messages. Those error messages have changed. I emailed Rhapsody to find out what I should do, and their suggestion was to uninstall it all and then reinstall it. And I did that, same problem. I did a scan and defragment of my system as well to just clean it up, and then did a reinstall on it and still getting a blue screen. I re-emailed Rhapsody, and they told me to check with my ISP, which is, you know, I have Roadrunner, and check with all these different my
In other
monitor.
Words, they want to point you to everybody but themselves.
Right. So what do I need to do here? What can I do?
And this was
the system runs great except for Rhapsody.
Yeah.
And it was a Rhapsody update, not a Windows update?
I can get into Real.com, for example, and I got the Real 10 player. That runs fine, but it just won't let me get into Rhapsody.
How much memory do you have?
356. Is that right? No, 256 plus extra.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got enough memory.
Yeah, I have enough memory.
Yeah, see, that's a problem, though. A lot of these programs weren't supported very well with my favorite operating system.
Yeah, it says it runs with ME, but it also says that there are problems. Have you told them that you're running ME?
Yes.
And they don't seem to have a problem with that.
What kind of system is it? A Pentium what?
It's an HP Pavilion, probably Pentium 2.
Do a Google search for Rhapsody Blue Screen, and you'll find a bunch of suggestions to try as well.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff, and like you said, Rhapsody Blue Screen will get you a list of those problems, a list of those things to try. There are a bunch of very innovative things out there, so give those a shot and let us know which one solves your problem. I'd be delighted to know. Thanks. We have to take another break. Luckily, the incredible Joan Brandenburg is here to bring us up to date on the latest stuff that's going out in the Big Blue Room. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show in the known universe, and that's Soundbites.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or *1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites. Back to the phones in just a few minutes. We've got Bill and Stan, among others, on the line. First, I want to talk a little bit about what goes on here. I want to give a hello to... we've got somebody listening on the webcast, on the streaming server, from either Kentucky or North Carolina. I can't quite tell which it is from here, but welcome. Yep. Don't forget to tell all your friends and ask your local Clear Channel station why they're not carrying us. But I want to talk a little bit about what goes on our website at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Every week we do a poll. Last week's poll was about the Kodak Bird Cam. 281 of you voted, tying for 119th place. Thank you very much. 51% of you thought it was so cool. 33% of you thought it was no big deal. 16% of you had never heard of it. And two of you had it as their home page. This week, we're talking about spring cleaning. It's spring. We actually had our windows open the other day. Not today, but the other day. Airing out the house, talking about doing the spring cleaning, all of that stuff. And along with cleaning the house, you should also get your computer cleaned. And there are a bunch of choices that you can make there. So my question is, as part of your spring cleaning, what will you do? Back up all your data, defrag your hard drive, reformat your hard drive, clean out the dust bunnies, buy a new computer, some of the above, all of the above. And I suspect that deep in your hearts, if you were honest, this is the one most of you would pick. Wait till it dies, then take it in and scream.
Mm-hmm. That's usually when we get them.
That's when you guys get them. And so far, we've got 46 people who've answered the poll. Most of you have said some of the above. Four of you have been honest and said wait till it dies, then take it in and scream. So please vote on our poll. We'd love to know what you think of this week's poll. Once you've done that, once you've entered your poll choice, as we know, nobody is happy with all the poll choices. There's always something that they would rather have had us put in. You know, we're not actually doing a double-blind scientific study. This is just a poll on a website. Get over it.
Something fun to do.
But if you'd like to put in a little bit more, have your opinion actually heard as to something or other, hopefully having something to do with the poll, and not just complaining that the poll is not to your liking. I don't really care about that. You can go over to my website. You'll see at the bottom underneath the poll itself, there's a little yellowish box that if you click on the Give Us Your Opinion button, it'll take you over to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
Ooh.
Thank you. And you can enter you can enter your opinion. So far, we've got six of them, one or two of them, one of them. Yeah, one of them. Two of them actually have something to do with the poll itself, which
that's
is kind of nice.
Once in a while.
Two out of six, it's not bad. It's 33%. Batting 333 gets you in the Hall of Fame every time, so we're doing well. Then when you're done with that, come back to soundbites.org and check out the forums. We have some of the coolest people on earth in the forums, and they have lots of interesting and fun things to say. You can also check out our old shows at the old Soundbites archives. And naturally, we also have Dave's tips. Every week or so, he puts in a brand new tip. So every week, sometimes less, he puts in a brand new tip to keep your machine...
It's been every week. Matter of fact, quite often, more than that, I usually try to do at least two tips.
Didn't I just say that? Every week or less? Isn't
I'm
that what
tired,
that means?
So don't pick at
every
me.
Week or less. Less means like two a week or three a week?
Hey...
If I said every week or more, that would be like every 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
My brain is working halfway today.
Yeah.
My wife and I were babysitting our grandchildren, and now they are 5, 4, and 2.
Yeah.
And chasing those around for 7 hours. Well, not quite full 7 hours. My grandson, I finally got him to lay down after Grandma stopped reading to him around 10:30.
Yeah.
But they are great, but it was just, you know, a long night. You get home, and then you've got two puppies, because mine are, only 11 months old right now, who have been cooped up for 7 hours. It's now 1 o'clock in the morning. I want to go to bed.
Yeah.
Puppies didn't want to.
No. But let me explain something to you. You have grandchildren, and you have puppies. You lock them in a room, come back in 2 hours, and there's all of them asleep on the floor together. Because they've been playing like mad.
What dream world do you live in?
Or they're still playing, and you close the door and walk away.
Well, at my daughter's house, she has 2 dogs, 2 cats. See? And they're running around, too.
It's the puddle in the corner you have to worry about.
Yeah, and where'd it come from?
No, they were good kids. I mean, they were fantastic. We had a good time. It's just when you're not used to it.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you're old now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And running after around, you know, my one granddaughter, both of the granddaughters, you know, Papa, come here, go over here, you know, and you're running around.
Right,
it's
right.
It's a lot of fun, but.
It's the same thing with my daughter. When she was a kid, she could not play by herself. Dad, honey, 12 minutes alone, that's all I'm asking. Give me a break.
It was a lot of fun, but, you know, like you say, when you don't do it on a daily basis, it can.
But I'll tell you the truth, I wouldn't have missed 1 minute with my daughter. Not one.
My son keeps asking me to help him with the games. Can you help me beat this level? You're better than I am.
Yeah, right.
He's six. And he's
it's not that you don't want to help him. You don't want to help him with something they're better at, because then they show you up. That's the real problem right there. We're going to go back to the phones and talk about computers that nobody's good at, so we'll all be together on this one. We have Bill from Honeyoy calling. And welcome, Bill.
Hi, guys. Got a new problem.
Yeah.
I'm on Roadrunner.
Okay.
And I keep on, in the last couple of weeks, I am getting a barrage of, you know, like Viagra ads and stuff about stock.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Internet.
Yeah.
Is there anything I can do to block this stuff?
Well,
are these pop-up ads?
No, they're right in my email.
Oh, email.
And I'll just take a wild stab and guess that you're using Outlook Express.
Yeah.
The first thing you can do is stop using Outlook Express.
Okay.
That will... It's too late now, but that will cut down on a lot of the spam lists that you get put on in the future.
So what?
But you need to get an email program that has spam blocking features built into it.
Well, that's why I use the all-in-one Netscape 7.2, and that both the browser has built-in pop-up blocker, and in the email, once you set up the account, it can import all your emails from Outlook Express, and it has what they call junk control.
Yeah, the same is true for Eudora and Thunderbird.
Yeah, and once it's kind of generic for all of them. Once you mark an email, say this Viagra one or a bank one, it's junk. You'll see it come in for a second, but once you set it up and tell it, once you mark it to junk, what to do with it in the preferences, like I have anything I mark labeled junk to automatically go to the trash. And when I exit out of Netscape Mail, I've got it set to automatically empty the trash. So in the morning, you know, I can see a couple thousand emails come in, and I'll watch the list go up, blah, 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 and all of a sudden, 2 seconds later, it narrows down to maybe about four new messages. All the rest went to trash because they're on mortgages. I've been getting a lot of Russian emails.
Yeah, me too.
And I just mark them, send them to the trash. I don't see them anymore.
Yeah, the same. I use Eudora with a program called SpamNix, which is an add-on. It's actually Spam Assassin. And on a slow day, I get 6,000 messages in my trash, all of which are spam. So everybody's got the problem, and the names come from a million places.
Oh, yeah, they're all different.
Well, what I'm saying is the way they get your name
comes
from a million places. If you have any, if you put your email address out on a website anywhere on the net, they've got it. If you've ever answered any one of these ads, they've got it. If your email address is anything like your first name at somewhere, they send every first name there is.
Or the most famous one is when somebody sits there, goes down to the bottom of an email, and it says, if you want to be removed from this list, click.
Right.
The minute you do that, you have just advertised that you are a live, warm being, and they sit there and...
That actually reads your email.
And adds you to hundreds of lists.
Hundreds.
Yeah.
I think that's what's happening.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. So short of changing your email address... The best thing you can do
and that will only postpone the issue until it gets out again.
Right. The best thing you can do is to pick up a product that has what operating system are you running?
I'm not going to tell you.
Okay, and then in that case it's Emmy. And in that case you really do need to you really do need to change to a different email
definitely
program.
All of them
and will.
And they're free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're all free.
And it's nothing specifically to do with your internet provider. It's just a fact on the internet.
It has nothing to do with Roadrunner and everything to do with the fact that your name is out there and you're done.
And they even a lot of the spammers don't even they'll use a dictionary, so you know, John at Roadrunner.com, whatever. But then since it's a computer, you can do A, B, C, D, A, 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 B, A, C. They'll try every possible letter combination. Because it's just as easy to send 10 million messages as it is to send one message.
And for those of us who run our own domains, any name that isn't legitimate comes to us anyway so that we can see if they just got it wrong. So if you send it to Ghibli Fritz at AskNick.com, it still gets to me. Great. Yeah. Thank you so much. Our next caller is Stan from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Stan. What's your question?
Thanks a lot.
Oh, hold on, Stan. I have to make an announcement. If you do send something to Ghibli Fritz at AskNick.com, it automatically gets put in the trash. So don't bother. Go ahead, Stan.
Thanks a lot for taking my call.
Sure.
This is a first-time caller, a long-time listener.
Thank you.
And I've got a very major problem here.
Yes?
I used Restore.
Uh-huh.
And using Restore, it got to the point where it did not complete. It maybe completed about 80%, and then it locked up. Mm-hmm. I let it sit there for 24 hours.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nothing happened.
How old of a machine is it, Stan?
It's about 10.
10 years?
10 years. It's XP. I had no problems up until the time that I tried to get rid of a... Family Tree Maker 2005.
Mm-hmm.
It would not allow me to uninstall it, and that's the reason why I went to Restore to try to go to a earlier date.
Yeah, do you mean a Restore point or the Restore CDs that came with the computer?
Restore date.
Okay.
And like I said, it stopped running. And then I hit the reset button on my computer, and it went through the cycle, and it looked like it was starting up okay, and then it got to a point on one screen which has the Microsoft logo, and then it stopped right there again.
Starting it back up in safe mode again, and try selecting another point in time. The registry files for that particular restore date might be corrupt. So go back maybe a couple days or maybe even a week later, and back in time to you know, grab a date and see if that works for
you. And you may end up needing to reinstall Windows if it's too corrupted.
You can install XP over XP.
And that should solve the problem. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, Nina Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Computer talk that you can understand. Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Before we get back to the phones, Steve has something he'd like to say to Stan.
As a public service announcement to all of our listeners, if you don't feel comfortable, you know, doing something that we recommend, you know, a suggestion we give, you know, reinstall your operating system, download this file, and see what happens. Feel free to bring it into one of our shops. Dave and I have shops, or you know, look through the yellow pages, find a shop near you.
Yeah, we do this for a living, and you know, it's great. You know, on Sundays from 11 to 1, we give free advice. But, you know, after that, it's, you know, we'll walk them through a simple question, as I think Steve will agree. But after that, hello, we've got to make a living. And that's how we do it. I can't sit there, me or my techs, or I'm sure the same with you guys at Jesse Group. You can't spend time sitting there walking people, spending a half hour walking somebody through for free. Where, you know, you've got paying customers who want their computers fixed.
Right. If you want to wait for a machine to be finished, then schedule an appointment with the technician.
Yeah.
But both Dave and I know that the easiest thing for you to do is drop it off and pick it up in a couple of days, because we can squeeze it in here and there, and machines
come. It almost ends up being cheaper usually.
Yeah.
In terms of time, and I get people who call me at work all the time. Aren't you the guy in the radio? I got a question. Well, you know what? RIT does not pay me to answer those people's questions.
Exactly.
And they get a little porky about it.
Well, yeah.
So I don't call them back at work. I don't talk to them at work. I can't. It's not my job is not doing that, and my boss gets porky, and he should.
And especially something as serious as your operating system not running at all.
It's never a two-minute answer.
And
it's
almost impossible to answer over the phone anyway.
Right. And then when I get home, I'd rather spend the time with my family. If I got to make a choice between anybody in my family, it's my family. You know, I'll take them first. So
there's nothing specifically against the callers, but sometimes the questions are so deep or so wide ranging they just can't be answered over the phone, and you need to bring it in.
Often enough, you get people who are very good at playing around inside their computer. It's like cars.
Oh yeah.
Sometimes you can say to somebody, "Oh, it's a timing belt problem," and they'll "Oh, I'll change the timing belt." They can do that. Other people say, timing belt? Could you walk? No. That's the kind of thing that you take it to a shop and let them fix for you. Because it's just, because if you have to ask the question, you don't have the knowledge to really do the work. And so you take it to a garage and let them fix it. The same thing is often true with computers. There are things that happen, and the problem is sometimes the problem is so minor, but so esoteric, that it could be any one of 10 things. And saying, try this, try this, try this, try this. If you're sitting and looking at the machine, you can immediately go, oh, here's the problem.
Right, and one of the reasons this show works is that between the three of us, we have like 75 years of computer experience.
Yeah, that's true.
We've seen a lot of things.
Yeah.
And so oftentimes problems repeat themselves for other people.
Right.
And, oh, yeah, I've seen that. Do this. It fixes it.
Well, how many times do we say, it could be this, try it and call us back? Well, if you took it to a shop, they would try that and move on themselves, and it would happen faster.
Or I get the phone calls to sit there. Well, this should be a real simple one for you. This is an easy one. Well, if it's so easy, then why don't you do it?
Well, we'll make the determination whether or not it's easy. I got a real simple question. Yeah, but the answer could be very complex. But at any rate, we do appreciate people calling here. I love that they want
to
call us at home. But home time is home time, and it's
and that's also a point where you can use the Soundbites forums. That the whole purpose of this show is to help you with your computer to answer your questions. But there's just three of us here. Post a question in the forum, and you've got thousands of people.
The smartest people around are in those forums, and they can answer
Someone else has probably already had your problem and can fix it for you.
Yep. It's a truth. It's a truth. Our next caller, David from Rochester. Welcome, David. What's your question?
Hello, Nick, Dave, Steve. How are you doing today?
Great.
Hey,
you?
Good. Excellent, excellent. Welcome to the Lilac Festival, right? Coming up and all that?
Yeah, very cool.
And the flowers are even ready this year.
I remember a long time ago you said that you wanted a puppet stage on that Fast Ferry. Remember that?
I do want a puppet stage in the Fast Ferry.
I remember that. My question was about the Mac. If you could switch gears for a second, and it's about Tiger.
Sure.
I've been a little cool about installing Tiger on two of my home systems because I've read some stuff, I guess from MacFixit, that website, that when Tiger gets put on a system and the system acts slower, I don't know, I always want to upgrade in terms of getting more capabilities and a better computer. And now with Tiger, I'm not sure if I was just so gung-ho about doing that right away. What have you guys heard about installing Tiger?
There's actually a couple of issues involved in an upgrade, and it's the same thing is true on the Windows world. If one person has a problem, it gets reported on thousands of websites.
Exactly.
For the 10 million people that did it with no problem, you never hear about it.
Yeah.
And then the other issue with upgrades, in Tiger included and XP on the PC side, the Apple minimum recommendations are a G3 with a FireWire port.
Right.
But that's a pretty old computer, and it probably is going to run slower than your current operating system because it's trying to do more.
Mm.
Even some of the slower G4s, it may run a little bit slower.
Right. I have an 867 megahertz G4. I have a Quicksilver Tower.
Mm-hmm.
I also have an iBook G4 that's 1.33 gigahertz.
Yeah, both of those should be no problem.
Yeah.
But the older multicolored iMacs, I have it running on a 400 megahertz iMac.
Oh, you do?
And it runs fine. Mm. It's just a little sluggish because it's a pretty slow machine.
Mm.
One of the other major things you can do is put more RAM in it. More RAM in your computer can overcome a slower processor.
I see.
The minimum recommended RAM is 256, and we've said for years, both on the Windows side too, 512 is a better minimum, and 1 gig if you can afford it.
Yeah, we've got 512 on the iBook, and we've got 1 gig of RAM on the PowerPC tower. So I was just a little skeptical, frankly.
Yeah, both of those machines should be fine. The one issue that we have run into is if you run third-party or sort of obscure utilities.
Right.
If you're the kind of the person that downloads whatever you find at Version Tracker, ooh, that sounds cool.
Right.
That may not work.
Right.
And at websites like Version Tracker and Mac Central and even Mac Fixit, they have lists of software that has to be updated to be compatible with Tiger. And most of those third-party esoteric utilities have already been updated because that's the kind of author they are when they wrote the program. So little things like that can cause a problem. But if you're running a pretty clean stock operating system, there shouldn't be any major issue in upgrading.
I have to say, I've dipped a toe into the dark side. On my desk at work is a Mac Mini. It's great. It's terrific. I'm a little jaded about every operating system right now. It's just like, yeah, okay, you can run a web browser. But it is pretty nifty, and it has it's a lot of eye candy.
Yeah.
I'm very impressed by what it does, and it runs fine. And, of course, there's Linux or at least Unix underneath it. And so I've been having lots of fun with it. It's a pretty neat little toy.
Yep.
Pretty neat little toy.
A Motorola Unix workstation.
It's ludicrously tiny.
Yeah, it's just amazing. It's a laptop without a screen. But even that doesn't do it justice. It's almost like Dell's, Dave's Dell Axiom, without a screen. It's just
now
if that
they could
tiny.
Stick a screen on the top.
Well, there are
throw a power supply in there.
There are some companies that make it's 8, 9 inch LCDs, and they're starting to come out in that form factor.
Yeah, it's a pretty astonishing little product. And if you've ever thought of dipping your toe into the Mac water, for $500, if you want to spend about $700 to get more RAM and et cetera, like we were just talking about. But for $700, it's an incredible little piece.
And you can easily get a KVM switch and share your keyboard, video, and mouse and between the two computers.
Right, exactly, right. All right, our next caller is Jay from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Jay. What's your question?
Hello, guys. How you doing?
Peachy, how are you?
Good. I caught you just before the last caller. It's good to see you're all fired up today.
We are.
I have, I won't even say what type of question it is. I'll just throw it out. I have, a mass storage device. It's a USB plug-in.
Right.
And forgive me if I say the wrong terms because I'm not by no means even close to knowing what I'm talking about here.
Not a problem.
I had, it's a 40 meg.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Could be 40 meg.
Or 40 gig.
But it could be 40 gig.
Yeah, it's 40 gig. Now, it works on one of my laptops, has a 40 gig hard drive, and my other two laptops are only 20 or less in capacity. So will this USB mass device work? I can't seem to get it to work on the ones with the smaller hard drives.
It's not a matter of what the hard drive space is. It's a matter of the capabilities of those other laptops and what operating system they're running, whether the USB ports are enabled, whether you've got the drivers installed for this mass storage device on those other laptops.
USB 1 or USB 2.
Yeah, that's, I think, the big one right there. The one that it works on is a newer laptop and the other two are older, right?
Oh, yeah, I would say that. It's XP on the somewhat newer one, and the other two laps are they're Dells. They're 2000, and they take my smaller memory card, and they read that okay.
Yeah. Here's what is likely the problem, and I think Steve hit on it. USB has two versions out there. Version 2, the newer version, is much faster, and it's very likely that this 40-gig external drive runs USB 2.
Okay.
USB 1 or 1.1 is the older standard and is much slower. And
it is 2. You're right. I remember seeing that on the cover.
There you go. And so it's very likely that the driver itself is saying, no, you're only running 1.1. You'll get a lousy speed out of this. We're not just going to go.
It may be the 32-gig barrier on an old machine. Older machines could only see a hard drive 32 gigabytes or less.
Yep.
So since yours is 40 gigabytes, it can't...
Unless you do a BIOS update.
May not see it. Yeah, BIOS update. If your computer only has USB 1, you might be able to get a USB 2 card on a laptop, a PC card, or on a desktop, a PCI card, to be able to run the USB 2 peripherals.
Mm-hmm. But I think that's where your problem lies.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. I understand what you're saying, and thanks for your time, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
We'll do our best. Thanks.
Yeah, sometimes trying to put modern technology on even a 2 or 3 year old computer doesn't work because, you know, 2-3 years in computer terms is, you know, like 50 years in people terms.
Well, and that's the problem. You know, as we keep saying, the price of poker keeps going up.
Yeah.
We've been saying that long before poker was popular on television.
Which is the question. 98, that's going away in a few months.
Yeah.
Am I not correct?
Yeah.
December.
Like 5 months?
Yeah. We've got a link on our website to the life cycle.
So a lot of folks, you know, I mean, that are still running the Windows 98, granted they've had a few updates, but as of the end of this year...
That's probably the most common question I get at Ask Nick. What's happened with the updates? And you said the updates are going away, and what do I do? Going away. Yeah. It's that simple.
And you've got to, you know, like you said, the poker keeps changing, and you've got to ante up and get another system.
We've had several people buying iPods because they're so hot and so popular. Apple only officially supports Windows 2000 or later.
Right.
And 98, there's still a lot of 98 machines around. You can probably use Music Match, or there's a company called Media 4 that makes a product called X-Play, and that supports a Windows 95 or 98 and ME with the iPod. But it's again, you're trying to buy a brand new thing and use it on a 6-, 7-, 8-year-old computer.
Right.
New PCs are fairly inexpensive.
I certainly understand not being able to afford a new computer. Believe me when I tell you I understand that. But the reality is that you cannot expect the old machines to do what the new machines do. You just can't. Because it's not going to happen. It's like having an old car and then buying a trailer.
Yeah.
So I think I'll just hook it up to my Golf. I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not going to happen. So you got to understand that the older machines, while they're still
spinning its wheels.
Exactly, while they're still great. I mean, I haven't had people say all I want to do is get on the internet to do email and web browsing.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I want to do. Well, great. You can go and get a used laptop at any one of the places that we talk about all the time, or a used desktop, and you can get on the net and you can do those things. But then what happens is they get it home and they think iPod.
Digital camera.
Now you can't.
Right.
You know, you just can't.
You changed the.
You changed what all you want to do is.
Exactly. And so that's you got to have reasonable expectations for the old stuff. We're going to take a quick break because we're old. You have to have reasonable expectations that we need to take a break while some of us are old. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob. I'm just a puppy Linton. We've got Ed on the line there. And well, I'll be here back in just a couple of minutes on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Longest running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites.
Bites, bites, bites,
bites, bites, bites, bites, bites, bites. Luke, this is your Soundbites. Our next... I don't care. Our next caller is Ed from Brockport, New York. Welcome, Ed. What's your question?
Hi. I'm needing to pick up a printer, and as you guys were talking about the type of printer that doesn't have the drivers that run off the computer, that they have the printer does its own thing.
The print processor, yeah. The imaging engine is in the printer.
Right.
You're gonna there's several classes of printers. The the $99 inkjet printers.
Yep.
Everything is processed on your computer, and you're gonna spend a fortune in ink.
Okay.
$200 laser printer. The print processor is in the computer. Not quite as much cost of consumables. Laser is a better cost of consumables than liquid ink. Once you get up in the $500-$700 mark and start approaching that $1,000, the printers have their own imaging engine in the printer itself.
Plus, you can add additional memory.
More memory, more paper trays, duplexing options.
More features.
Right. Like
so
that.
If you want a low-end printer, your basic throw-it-away-when-it-runs-out-of-ink printer, the $99 printers are great if you have a lot of memory and a very fast processor. Then you'll hardly notice the slowdown when it's actually doing all the work.
Yep.
But or if you've got a separate machine that's your print server, I guess.
An extra machine lying around. Yeah.
Then it doesn't matter. But if you've got a machine that's not as fast as you'd like it to be, doesn't have quite as much memory as you'd like it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Asking it to do even more work and take up even more memory is going to make you disappointed in the whole machine will be slower and do less.
Yeah, when you're looking at printer specifications, look to see if it says it has a processor in it or a CPU or what type
of
processor.
Or you can upgrade memory. That's usually a good indication.
Yeah.
Right. So those are the things you want to look for. At some point you're going to spend the memory money somewhere. Do you add more memory and a faster processor to your system, or do you put memory and a processor in the printer itself? Those are your choices.
My favorite printer right now is the Xerox Phaser 6100.
Mm-hmm.
Laser color with a duplex, so it prints on both sides of the page automatically. $499.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So you get the color, you get the low cost of consumables, and it's a really slick
little printer. Anybody from Xerox is listening, send me one. I'll be glad to talk about it on the air and tell you what I think.
Test it out.
Yeah, HP has their 2600 series, I think it is, but that still has a rotating carousel for laser color.
Right.
So it's a lot slower. It's only four pages a minute. Is it the 4600 from HP? And then the Xerox 6200 has a linear carousel. So the 6200 can get 25 pages a minute. Right. The 6100 is only 5 pages a minute color.
Right.
So goes into price.
Whatever your pocketbook can.
And the other thing too,
lay down your money wherever you want to put it.
For a small business, take a look at the duty cycle. You know, if the printer's only rated at 5,000 pages a month and you're a business, you might do 5,000 pages a week.
Yeah. Well, and that's a real problem because we've run into that where you estimate the number of pages and you're way low.
Yeah, guess and then triple it.
Right, exactly. And then within a couple of months, you find the printer's breaking down. It needs new rollers. It needs new everything.
And you think it's a crappy printer and you're wasting your money on it.
Right, you're wasting my money on this piece of junk. Well, no, you're just using it in the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
It's, again, going back and buying that Jetta and trying to haul a trailer with it. It's not going to work. Our next caller is Joe from East Rochester, New York. Welcome, Joe. What do you know?
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi. I got an MP3 player, and I guess the disk driver, USB disk driver, doesn't work anymore. You plug it in so you can look at the file and change the songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can't there's no updates. And I downloaded all the drivers for Millennium. I got Millennium, sorry. It's okay. And I tried replacing the certain files in that driver, and that doesn't seem to work either. So.
Now, it was working, though, before?
Pardon?
It was working okay before.
Yeah, it's been working fine.
Sometimes there's the MP3 players will come with a restore program that will erase the hard drive and restore the original software on it, kind of like restoring your system.
Yeah, it come with that.
Yeah, if that doesn't work, it could be that it's the device is worn out and
or the other thing is since he's got my favorite operating system, he might have done some of the updates.
Yeah, if you can.
And some of those updates might have updated some of the DLLs that yep. the other program used to depend on, but uh-huh. because they're a newer version, now don't work.
Yeah, try it on a friend's computer and see if it shows
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I brought it in, and it worked, you know, where I bought it, so I eliminated the player and the USB cord.
Yeah. Right, it's clearly in your system, and I suspect Dave is correct. One of the problems with ME is that the drivers and the DLLs were...
less than optimal.
Less than optimal, and consequently, thank you, Steve, they were less than optimal, and consequently, as they've updated them, a lot of the software that was originally written for ME that used tricks to get around the less than optimal software... now don't work because the tricks are gone because the software works right. But the company that makes the device didn't update the drivers because nobody uses ME anymore, quote unquote.
So you might be able to use your restore points and go back to a previous date.
Yeah, I couldn't do that. It wouldn't restore to any other date.
You may have to reinstall Windows completely and go back to the stock ME.
Or update Windows
or
to a,
update
yeah,
to
yeah,
XP.
Yeah, if the system can handle, go up to XP version. Home.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve, Ray, Rob, Linton, me, Nick, Francesco, all of you. We've got Jeff and Gene on the line and Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
When you wake up, computer questions for over 15 years. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites. Our next caller is Jeff on a cell phone pulled over to the side of the road. Welcome, Jeff. What's your question?
I have a Macintosh question.
Thanks for calling.
I have an EyeSight camera, and I obviously use iChat software on it. And I also have a USA DataNet AllTalk VoIP phone
yep.
that we use through our internet connection. And we've been getting errors for the EyeSight video conferencing, saying that, you know, port 5060 is in use. And I investigated and found out that the VoIP phone that we use also uses port 5060. And
yeah.
I'm calling just to find out if there's some way for me to use my EyeSight or change the port that EyeSight initially starts the video or audio conferences in 5060.
Offhand, I don't know. Because that was a big issue with firewalls. You have to open a port on your firewall to let the EyeSight go through, the iChat software, and that's port 5060. We'll dig into it, because I'm not sure if there's a way to do that. You might be able to do it on, if you have a router. No, because you'd have to put a router on your computer and send port 5060 on your computer to a different port on the internet.
Jeff, do us a favor and put this in the Soundbites forums. There's a forum for Mac questions. Put it in there, and we'll research it and get back to you about it.
I'm just did a quick Google search, and there's quite a few similar questions. Somebody wants to move it to port 21 or port 80, which firewalls allow through by default.
Right. Well, we'll research that. Our next caller is Gene from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Gene. What's your question?
Well, my question is a very simple one. All these emails that we get on our computer here, like letters of mortgage and stuff
right.
like that, all that junk, is there a way of preventing that from coming in?
Yes and no. There are a couple of programs you there are a
we
couple
answered
of things
that about an
do.
Hour ago too.
Yeah, but if he wasn't listening, he didn't hear us do that. There are a couple of things that you can do to block spam. One, of course, is to never let anybody know what your email address is. But beyond that, the best thing you can do is use a program that will prevent that will filter out spam.
What would that be?
What are you using now?
Norton.
Norton has an anti-spam software, but you may not have that.
What are you using for an email client? Outlook Express?
Outlook Express, yes.
Yeah, bingo. That's the first problem. Stop using that.
Yeah, stop using Outlook Express. There are a couple of others that you can use. We recommend Eudora and Thunderbird.
And Netscape.
Netscape. Eudora is at eudora.com. Thunderbird is at mozilla.org/products/Thunderbird. Both of them are listed on our website. When you install them, they'll go find Outlook Express and say, do you want to import everything from there? And you say yes. And one of the things you can do with either of those products is set up filters. It's pretty easy in both, but particularly in Thunderbird, you can just, when you open a message you don't want, you can say, this is junk. And then you can go into the options and say, anything that's junk, I want thrown away.
Okay,
and
now,
after it learns about 300 or 400 junk messages, it starts to get what junk is and throw it away.
Okay, so then that would be eliminating Outlook Express?
Yes.
Because Outlook Express allows email to respond back without even opening a message. Even if you just preview a message, you click on the message to delete it, the message is read, and code in that email can be executed, including grabbing an email address and sending it back to the sender.
Okay, real quickly again, those two that I should go into?
Eudora.com. Or Mozilla.org and click on the link for Thunderbird, M-O-Z-I-L-L-A.
Thank you so much.
Click on the link for Thunderbird. Good luck. Our next caller is Bill from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
Hey, real quick here. I have a Windows XP annoyance, I guess you could call it.
Yeah.
My system is set up to go into standby after 2 hours, but I keep getting this message that the standby failed because of a device driver standard 101/102 key or Microsoft.
Yeah.
Are you on a desktop?
Beg your pardon?
Are you on a desktop?
Yes.
Yeah, one of the problems is that many desktop systems don't have the right hardware to go into standby. They simply won't do it because their hardware doesn't have the right stuff in it. Standby is really designed for laptops only, and a lot of desktops just don't have the hardware that you need.
In the control panel under power options, turn all those things to never, and you have fewer issues.
Unfortunately, you can't do it. We're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright and Steve Ray and Rob Linton for joining us here. I'm Nick Francesco. We're here every Sunday from 11 to 1, and of course, we're on the web at soundbites.org. Get into the forums, ask your questions. Talk to the people there, the smartest people on earth. We will be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel, yes, I'm old, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Americans.